From Montgomery, we moved to Chattanooga, Tennessee, where Dad taught in the Boyd Buchanan Christian School. From there, we moved back to Adamsville, Alabama. From Adamsville to Pumpkin Center, Alabama. Bet you don't know where that is. From Pumpkin Center, we moved to Quintown. Both of those places are in Walker County. From Quintown, we moved to Montevallo, there where the university is, and that's where I started to school, not in the university, in Montevallo Elementary School. From Montevallo, we moved right outside of Vernon, where Dad preached for the Bethel Church of Christ. And it was from there that we moved to Cameroon, West Africa, and lived for a couple of years. From Cameroon, we moved back to Vernon, or on the other side of town this time, to a different congregation where Dad preached from 1971 until he retired not very long ago. Of course, then I was ready to move out and be on my own, and the first thing I did was came back to Montgomery to go to school at Alabama Christian College. I met this cute little Wadsworth girl, and we got tangled up together, and together we've moved back and forth around Montgomery and Wetumpka and Calera and back to Wetumpka and now back to Montgomery. But I want to tell you something. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. That song was written by an anonymous writer. But in all of our hymn books, it's attributed, insofar as its arrangement and music is concerned, to Albert E. Brumley. Wikipedia, the internet encyclopedia, has this entry for Albert Edward Brumley. Born near Spiro, Oklahoma, on October the 29th, 1905. Pre-Dust Bowl Oklahoma was primarily made up of sparse agricultural communities, and Brumley's family was no different. He spent much of his early life chopping and picking cotton on his family's farm. In 1926, he enrolled in the Hartford Musical Institute of Hartford, Arkansas, and he studied there through 1931. The Institute was led by Eugene Monroe Bartley, owner of the Hartford Music Company and composer of the well-known gospel song, Victory in Jesus. Brumley purchased Hartford Music Company in 1948. Brumley married Goldie Edith Shell in 1931. They lived on the banks of Big Sugar Creek in Powell, Missouri, and there they raised six children. The article concludes with this. Albert Brumley was a member of the Church of Christ and is buried at Fox Church of Christ Cemetery near Powell, Missouri. He died November the 15th, 1977. Brumley's son, Tom, who would die in 2009, later became a respected steel guitarist in country music, and a song leader in the Church of Christ in Powell, Missouri. Albert Brumley did write many songs. He didn't write "This World Is Not My Home." He arranged it. Among the ones that he did write, though, "I'll Fly Away," "If We Never Meet Again This Side of Heaven," "Turn Your Radio On," "I'll Meet You in the Morning," "He Set Me Free," and about 800 more songs. Brother Brumley was a very prolific musician. And it pleases me, for whatever that's worth, that he is associated with the Lord's church. You and I have sung these words together, not only tonight, but we've sung them hundreds of times. And I've referred to them often in sermons, and yet, especially in view of what we talked about this morning, where Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus spoke those words of great comfort, we said this morning. One of the most comforting things about those words is the fact that he's referring to home. Not home in Montgomery or Chattanooga or even Pumpkin Center, but home in heaven. Our Father's home, my Father's house. Words of comfort, words of promise, and words of preparation. Tonight I want to just take a few minutes. My voice is not going to last long. I just want to take a few minutes to look at some of the highlights in this song. We've been studying like this for several months now on Sunday nights, and it has really, it's really done me a lot of good. I don't know if it's helped you or not, but it's really interesting to see how these songs that we sing, which a lot of people mistakenly believe that the songs are inspired and that they're scripture. They're based on scripture. They are reflections of scripture, but they're not scripture in and of themselves. But it is interesting to examine these words that we sing together when we lift up our voices and these words in praise to God and encouragement to one another. Because words mean something. Every word of the Bible is true. And there is not a superfluous word there. That means one that's not needed. Every word is important. And I believe we should view our singing in somewhat the same way. Every word that we sing, because we sing those words together in concert with the other words, every word tends to serve a purpose of getting a thought completed and expressing that thought. And most of those thoughts that we express in our song services are thoughts of praise and worship and encouragement. The idea that this world is not my home is reflected in many Bible passages which refer to us here on this earth in terms such as strangers, pilgrims, sojourners. And we've long been aware of the danger of becoming too attached to things of this world. Peter makes reference to that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, where he said, "Beloved, I urge you as strangers and pilgrims." The English Standard Version says, "as aliens and strangers, sojourners and strangers, to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul." Now, immediately when we see that word lust, we think of sexual desire, and that's usually about as far as the thought process goes in thinking about lust. That's not the limit of lust. Lust is defined as inordinate desire. And certainly, inordinate sexual desire is one of the most dangerous things that a person could ever become engaged in, male or female, young or old. But the inordinate desire for anything, whether it be money, whether it be automobiles, whether it be houses, whether it be land, whether it be profits, whatever it is, the inordinate desire, a desire for it that causes it to be elevated in importance above the other things that are legitimately more important, makes that lust. And so Peter says, abstain from the fleshly or worldly lusts. Why, Peter? Because those things wage war against our souls. In the song, he makes reference, the writer makes reference to, "My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." That's got to be tied to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, where Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves break not through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The most important things that I have, the most important things to me are entrusted to God. Somewhere beyond the blue. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 19, "I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandment from me." In that passage, I believe the psalmist expresses, in fact, it's expressed in more than just this passage. Psalm 39 also expresses the same thought. The psalmist says, "I'm a sojourner. I'm just a temporary here on this earth. I'm just," as the song says, "passing through. I'm not here permanently." And then he says, "Hide not your commandments from me." I don't believe the implication is that God would hide his will from us or hide his word from us or try to keep us from finding out what he wants us to do. I believe rather it's an expression and a way of expressing which means, "Help me to be able to see clearly your commandments. Remove the obstacles from my way so that I can see and understand what I need to do. Because I'm a sojourner here on this earth." And then we come to the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, we find some of those heroes of faith described in these words. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Strangers and exiles on the earth. Now, I think, and I may be wrong about this, but I think that most of us, or many of us anyway, would probably, if we were asked about this and had maybe asked to explain it, we might even try to explain this idea of looking forward to heaven and so forth as a New Testament thing. But the book of Hebrews particularly calls attention to the fact that those heroes of faith in the Old Testament were looking forward to something beyond life on this earth. Now, I think one of the reasons we misunderstand that is it doesn't ever say anywhere in the Old Testament, in the story of Abraham, for example, that Abraham was longing for heaven. In fact, you hardly ever find the word heaven used in the Old Testament, at least in the way that it's used in the New Testament. It doesn't ever say in the long story of Joseph, which takes up about as much real estate in the book of Genesis as anything else, doesn't ever say anything there about Joseph was trying to get to heaven. And so we've kind of assumed that this heaven business and wanting to go to heaven is a New Testament thing, but it's not. And the book of Hebrews makes it clear, and this passage is one of many which points out the fact that these folks, for example, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10, speaking of Abraham, it says, "For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." He was looking forward to his existence beyond the grave, in that eternal city. We find another similar reference in the small story of Moses here in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, "By faith, Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt." Verse 26, and then it says this, "For he was looking to the reward." Remember, it says he chose mistreatment with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And the explanation is, "For he was looking to the reward." What's the reward that Moses was looking toward? It was heaven. It was eternal life with God. Though that's never explained in the Old Testament, in the New Testament wording and way of speaking, it's there throughout the Old Testament. Those Old Testament characters were looking forward to heaven just like we are. Then in Hebrews chapter 13, and verse 14, "For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come." Here we have no lasting city. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. We are seeking the city that is to come. That's exactly what Jesus was explaining when he said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Or in the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "So shall we ever," which means always, be with the Lord. May we never waver in our determination to look forward, to press toward that city that is to come, that city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Granted, one of the more difficult challenges of this life is to balance the affection, the appreciation, and the enjoyment that we have as a result of the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. That includes people and families. That includes possessions. That includes everything we have. There's nothing wrong with enjoying what God has blessed us with as long as we keep in mind that those things are but temporary tools to help us along the way to that city. Because we're looking for the city. The city where God shall wipe away all tears. The city that is beyond description, and thus we sing the words, how beautiful heaven must be. The city where there are no tears, no grief, no sorrow, no death or dying, where there is not even night. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we're going to sing this song to encourage you, and we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.